Now, how many of y'all walk around with them Stanley Cups? You got them, you got them, you got them, you got them. Okay. How many of y'all walk around with a water bottle? How many of y'all walk around? Why you walk around with a water bottle? How come y'all don't walk around with a plate? Wait. How come you don't walk around with a plate? Help me out. I mean, you don't walk around with a plate, but you walk around with a water bottle. Why do you walk around with a water bottle? You can take a sip anytime you need a sip. You got to be content. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I appreciate the Holy Spirit. You got to be content. Psalm 16, we are still talking about how to walk secure. Last week, we said that in order for us to walk secure, according to the words of David in Psalm 16, that there must be a confession of the faith. We talked about that from verses 1 and 2. And then we talked about how there should be a connection with the family. Amen. In verse 3, because he says, as for the saints who are on the earth, he's talking about the saints. He's talking about us, y'all. Mm-hmm. Amen. And that there must be a connection with the family, not simply a family, mm-hmm. but the family. Amen. Y'all know that the word "the" is a determinative conjunction or article, where it's a definite article. So, in other words, it tells you it makes it very definite and very narrow. That's why he didn't say a family, we say the family. The family of Christ. Amen. Amen. Y'all get that when you go home. But not only do we talk about being connected with the family because we're saints, but then he says, they are the excellent ones. Ah, man, every time I read that, it just excites me. The excellent ones in whom is all my delight. And so I try to share with you that, you know, there must also be a celebration of the family. We must learn how to celebrate each other. We must learn how to celebrate the family of God and not tear down the family of God. We must learn how to celebrate each other, lift each other, and not literally bury each other and, you know, kill each other. And so I was trying to argue that because as we're talking about walking secure, we're talking about being able to walk in a way that we can keep our heads up. Amen. And a couple of messages ago, we talked about, you know, how you must look up and not look down. And because when you look up, you're looking up at him. And so I wanted to finish up today with my last 3 points that we want to really get into, because if we're talking about walking secure, what I mean by that is walking in the security of your faith, walking in the security of who you are, walking in the security of who God is. Amen. Y'all right this morning?
Amen.
Okay, all right, because y'all looking at me, y'all. I mean, you do know that we've been called to walk secure. Mm-hmm. Because of the cross, we now have the ability to walk in the deliverance that was given to us. Amen. We didn't get it. We couldn't fight for it. It was a gift to you and I for us to simply receive. And when we receive that gift of salvation, that said that we can walk in the security of our salvation. See, we have something that the world does not have.
That's right.
And I'm going to explain it in these last few points. We have something that the world does not have and can't get unless they come to our side. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so as we're looking at this thing, we're talking about in Psalm 16. So, you know, in order for us to walk, you know, insecure and to walk secure or walk in our security, we must confess the faith. We must be connected with the family. We must celebrate the family. But then fourthly, we must cut out the foolishness. We must cut out the foolish and the foolishness. Okay, all right, here we go. Because, you know, in the Word of God, it says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So we got to cut out the foolish, and we got to cut out that foolishness, the foolish talk. Well, let me show you. Look at verse 4. I'm not making this up. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Just a dramatic pause. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, that's David saying, nor take up their names on my lips. Wow. Look at that. David said, I ain't got time. Now, I do not have time. I ain't got time for the foolish. I don't have time for the foolish. And therefore, I don't have time for the foolishness from the foolish. Because, see, the foolishness is those who decide to talk and say there is no God. And they begin to worship other things beside God himself. The foolish says, I listened to a commercial. And Reagan, I forget his name, he says he is a proud atheist. And he looks forward to, I don't mind, and he says, and I don't mind burning in hell. And my prayer was, okay, Lord, send him straight to hell so he can go in and burn. Because, see, that's foolish talk. But the problem is that folks follow that talk. Folks follow that. My wife said, "Not say save from sin." Y'all got to pray for me because, see, I'm still being saved in some of those areas because foolish talk. And I started to tell the Lord to put him on an express train, but I decided not to do that. But he said, "Nor take their names on my lips." In other words, he said, "Not that you are just kicking them to the curb and dismissing them and pushing them to the side." He said that I don't, because if I'm praising you, God, if I'm trying to worship you, if I'm trying to celebrate folk, then I really don't have time to put the foolish on my lips because I'm too busy trying to speak what is positive, what is true, what is faithful. I don't have time for the foolish. Now let me burst the bubble a little bit more because, you know, a lot of times the foolish can be in our family. Well. And you have to deal with the foolish. Yes. A lot of times the foolish will be our friends. Well. You got to deal with the foolish. You know, understand, he's saying that, he says, I don't have time for to be, in other words, I don't have time for that to be on my lips. You know, I was thinking about that. He says, even, he just, y'all look what he says. He didn't say even on my mind. Look at this now. I need y'all to see this. He didn't say in my heart, in my thoughts. He just said simply on my lips. Think about that. Because sometimes what you say, you say stuff without thinking about it. In other words, you know, sometimes we don't even give thought to what we say. Sometimes stuff just roll off our lips without us even thinking about it. So he says, I don't even want to give that small ounce of time on my lips. I'm not going to give it any thought. That takes time. I'm not going to give it, you know, I'm not going to let it absorb me. That takes energy. He says, even the least amount of energy on my lips. I don't even want to give it that kind of time. How many of us continue to take up their names on our lips? How many of us continue to allow foolish ones and foolishness to occupy our thoughts? How many times, how often, and how much time do we give to people taking up our energy? In their foolish state. He says, the sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another guy. In other words, he said, look, he says, the more you run after anything other than God himself, capital G-O-D, Elohim, he says, Lord, their sorrows are going to be more. He's not praying for their sorrows to be multiplied. He's making a fact. He's making a statement. And he's saying that their sorrows will be multiplied who follow after other gods, small G-O-D. Now, we ain't just talking about the statues.
Right.
Because anything that you put in the place of Elohim becomes little G-O-D. I have a problem, son-in-law, about Charlemagne the God. Because Charlemagne, the God who was very popular with everybody, I have a problem with that. And the only time I even say that, I'm saying it as an example here, but I don't even call him the God. But what happens is, the problem I have with that is, people literally call him that and give him that title, little G-O-D. I have a problem with that. So whenever we put ourselves, even in the place of capital G-O-D, now we become little G-O-D. And then when that happens, then our sorrows begin to multiply, because we're trying to take care of something that we have no power to take care of. Well, maybe you don't do that. Maybe you might, use your money as little G-O-D. Now, I could hang there for a long time and start talking about the non-tithers and all that other good stuff that they had in. Because when you don't tithe, what you're saying is you don't trust God, capital G-O-D, and you trust God, small G-O-D. And so since you're a small G-O-D God now, then what you have belongs to you. And so therefore, you got to give nothing to nobody because it belongs to you. And so when you put yourself in that place, what happens is suffering, sorrows began to take place even more so. Now, I'm not saying I want your money. I don't want your money. All right, God said that if you want to be blessed, then you will walk in your obedience. As you walk in your obedience, then I will bless you because you trust me. And so he says the tithe has never been about the money. It's always about the trust. And I know you don't hear that, but I'm gonna tell you that anyway. And maybe you're tithing. Maybe you don't have to worry about the tithe and about calling the money your money. Maybe you don't have to worry about that. But maybe you got somebody in your life that you listen to them more than you listen to God. And whoever that is that you got in your life, your therapist, your psychologist, your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your auntie, your best friend, your cousin, whoever you got. Charlemagne the God, whoever you got in your life, Oprah, whoever you got in your life, Dr. Phil, whoever you got in your life, if you listen to them more than you listen to God, that becomes your God. Sorrows will be multiplied unto you. So if you're having some issues and problems in your life right now, and you need to understand, who have I replaced capital G-O-D, Elohim with? Who have I replaced him with? He said, because sorrows will be multiplied when you move God out of first place. This is just the word. I just want to help you with the word. So if you find yourself in a situation, you might want to ask yourself, how did I get in that situation? And then ask yourself, okay, how can I get out of the situation? And let me help you out with that second question. You know how to get out of that situation? You got to look up to Elohim. You got to look in. the Elohim. You got to look in. You got to look to him, because he's trying to get you to see that you can't solve what's in front of you without my help. Cut out the foolish. Cut out the foolishness. Cut out the people in your life that continues to. I'm not telling you you gotta just get rid of them. I'm just saying don't allow them to get you in a place where you are hearing what they say more than what God is saying. And don't put anything in front of him. That's foolish. All right, we're almost done, y'all. So you got to cut out the foolish. But see, what happens is it's easy to cut out the foolish because of my next point. Y'all ready for my next point? Next point is you should be content with the Father. There's no dramatic pause. Be content with the Father. And also, just in case you think I'm making this up, let's look at verse 5. Oh, Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance. He says, inherit in my cup. You maintain my lot. I'm going to just stop right there because I got some more stuff to go to. But he says, oh, Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Okay. We could talk about the cup a long time. I don't have a whole lot of time to do that. But let's look at this. Look what it says here. And I need to show you this because, see, David is just not saying this just out of thin air. See, David, I had to go back and I had to look at some passages where the Lord gave them a promise. In the book of Numbers, he says that he tells Aaron, Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in the land, nor shall you have any portion among them. He says, because I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. See, David wasn't just saying this just to be saying this. David remembered it. He recalled what the Lord said to Aaron. And he told Aaron, I am your portion and your inheritance. Well, he said, well, Aaron, he was a high priest. Well, okay, that's a good question. But in Deuteronomy 10, he goes and says, therefore, Levi has no portion nor inheritance with his brother. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God promised him. So Levi, that's the priest. Those are the priests. See, Aaron was the lineage of the priesthood, high priesthood. Levi are the lineage of the priesthood. He said, well, Pat, that's Old Testament. I'm glad you said that. Y'all are very astute people. Because in 1 Peter it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are his own special people that you may proclaim the praise. In other words, so because he went from high priest to Levi priest, and we are all a part of the priesthood. So guess what? Just like he is a portion of Aaron, he is a portion of Levi, he is a portion of every saint that calls him father. In other words, he says, I am your portion. I am your inheritance. You don't need nothing else. See, your blessings, it's just that, they're material, because you need the blessing, capital B. That is life with Christ. And because capital B is in your life, you get the small B, plural. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But guess what? Because capital B is in your life, whether you get the small B, plural or not, you got the blessing that matters at all times. You heard Minister Mo say that at that point, you have your joy, you have your peace, you have your right frame of mind, you have your walk, you have your relationship, and that's all that you need. I'm not real good with the Hebrew, but I was looking this up, and it says that when he says here that you are the portion of my inheritance, in other words, it said it's what you call a Hebrew superlative. In other words, it's an emphatic piece. It says David is implying that the Lord is the greatest portion or inheritance possible. A little another dramatic pause, such a jazz. He says that he is the greatest portion, the greatest inheritance. You don't need nothing else. Why don't we walk like that? Because as soon as something go wrong in our life, I'm going to leave that right there. You fill in the blank. You've got to be content with the Father. Paul says somewhere in Galatians, he says, you know what? I don't mind going on back to be with Jesus. He says, because, you know, therefore, he says, whether to be with the Lord or to be with y'all, I choose, he says, to be with the Lord. But because I'm with y'all and because I love the Lord so much, I'm going to remain with y'all a little bit longer so I can teach y'all about what it means to walk with the Lord. This is my paraphrase. He says, but if I had the choice, right now, I would tell Jesus, come on, get me now, because all I want to do is be with you. Because I am content with you. You are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You know what the cup symbolizes, right? The cup symbolizes, you know, not just an instrument, but the cup back in that day, it symbolized, what's the word? One who was well off. You know, the cup. My cup overfloweth. You know, you had the cupbearer to the king. You know, and so because the cup represents that which can be poured into. He says, you are the inheritance of my cup. So in other words, you are what's in my cup. What's in your cup? What's in your cup? Who's in your cup? Because, you know, a cup represents what? Drink, right?
Yeah.
He didn't say it. He said, you are the inheritance and my plate. See, I got to look at this kind of stuff. Because you can put something on the plate. You can live what? How long without substance?
Right.
You can live how long without food?
Yeah.
You can live how long without food? I don't know. But it's a few days. It's about probably a few weeks, right?
Uh-huh.
How long can you live without water? What do you catch water in? A plate? Don't miss this right here. He says, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You are what's in my cup that's gonna sustain me daily. Oh, y'all missed that right there. You missed it right there. But that's what he's saying, that I need a daily sustenance, and now I don't need you on my plate, Lord. I need you in my cup. Because I got to drink from you every day. And sometimes every minute of the day, I need to drink from you. I need your refreshment. I need the vitamins that you're going to give me. I need the nutrients that's going to literally go down in my body and help me walk through the day and make it through the night. I need those nutrients. Those nutrients are not on my plate. They're in my cup. I didn't mean to go down there, but I need you to understand. He didn't say my plate, he said my cup.
Yeah.
Be content with him being in your cup.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, I said all the same stuff, but I just got a question. Now, how many of y'all walk around with them Stanley cups? You got them? Nah. Okay. How many of y'all walk around with a water bottle? How many of y'all walk around? Why you walk around with a water bottle? How come y'all don't walk around with a plate? Wait. How come you don't walk around with a plate? Help me out. I mean, you don't walk around with a plate, but you walk around with a water bottle. Why do you walk around with a water bottle? You can take a sip anytime you need a sip. You got to be content. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I appreciate the Holy Spirit. You got to be content with that. I'm going to tell y'all this. just a little quick side point. I got one last point, but I got to tell y'all this. Y'all know my wife, she loves me. She loves me. She, man, y'all know that. She doesn't know that. I ain't got to tell y'all that, right? And she always wants what's best for me, Sister Monica. She always wants what's best for me, right? And so, y'all know, sometimes I just don't care about stuff. And so I had this water bottle. This purple water bottle. And Brother Greg got to the point where I was wearing out the purple on the water bottle, so it was like, you seen it? And so, and it looked, the water bottle looked red, and the bottom was falling off of the water bottle, but it kept the water, it kept it cold. And so finally she said, you know, you want me to just order another water bottle? I said, I'm good, but no. He said, you are not walking around here with no raggedy water bottle. But it kept the water cold. So my wife being my wife, she ordered me another water bottle. Nice, beautiful black water bottle, looks all good and everything. And I'm finding it hard to make the transition from my raggedy water bottle
to the black
water bottle, to the good-looking water bottle. But here's the deal, though, y'all. It may be a raggedy water bottle, but it's still holding the water. It may be a good-looking water bottle, but it's still holding the water. See, sometimes we're raggedy, but we can still hold the water. Sometimes we're looking good, but we're going to still hold the water. Because what happened is you're going to need water all day, every day. So whether you're raggedy or whether you're good. Okay, I got to keep going. But you got to be content with the Father. You got to be content with the Father. I got to go to the last point. I got to get done with this. I have someone to go, but I got to get done with this right here. So not only, because y'all know in Ecclesiastes it says this. You know, he says that, you know, he put eternity in our hearts. He put eternity in our hearts. In Ecclesiastes, he says, it's because at the end of the day, he says, I put myself in you. So the only way that you can be fulfilled is if I fulfill what I put in you. So all the stuff that you run after to seek fulfillment, you will never be totally fulfilled, because that spot is a finite spot that you're trying to fill, but it needs to be filled with an infinite one. He says, I put eternity in your heart. I put the ability for you to be fulfilled with eternity. You can't be fulfilled with finite stuff in eternity. You can only be filled with eternity in eternity. He says, I put myself in you. Yes. And so therefore, when you seek after fulfillment, after contentment, understand that nothing that you see physically is going to be able to get you where you need to be. Only I can get you where you need to be. Last point. So not only should you cut out the foolish, not only should you be content with the Father, but you must then also center on the future. Right. Let's go over to verses 9 through 11. I'll be done. It says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Well, we understand, he says, for you will not leave me in my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You understand that Peter literally uses this as in his message in the book of Acts, and Paul also uses this, that what they're talking about, how David is saying that death is not the last straw. He said that David is looking unto what's coming after death. See, y'all, as saints, if we want to walk in security, in our security, know that what you see right here is not the end. Real quickly, 2 Corinthians 4 says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Well, Paul is saying, look, I understand that we got stuff down here, but what I groan for that which is outside of this body. I groan for the habitation from heaven. I groan for to be able to be with my Father in heaven. My groan is not for this stuff. My groaning is for what's going to come after this stuff. He says, in other words, I need to be looking to the future. Y'all, this is not all there is. We got to look beyond what we see here, because if we don't look to the future, we will be destroyed in the present. He says, I know you're not going to leave my soul in Sheol, because I know that that's not the only place, the last place for me. Paul says, so we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. But he says, it's well pleased that we'd rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yes. Y'all, we have to center on the future. We have to know that all that we do here, yep, is just in preparation for our reward in the future. Yep. All that you have here is going to be left here. The question is, are you preparing for the future? I heard Dr. Evans once say that, you know, some people think that we are going to the, we are the live ones living in the, how do you put it? In the dead, I can't remember how he put it, but you know, he was trying to say, and I hate when I forget this, he was trying to say this, he said that many times we think that this is life, but y'all, this is actually death. And we're going into life. We're actually living amongst the dead right now, waiting to get to life. Life eternal. So he says this. He says, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will allow your Holy One to see corruption. Understand that everything we do must be centered on the future, and the future being after we're done here. That's the future, y'all. That's what we need to be looking to. Because at the end of the day, you know, we need to understand that this is all. This is not all that there is. There's so much more. But the reason why we are where we are in our salvation is so that we can make it better here, so that we can get to where we need to go there. Because there's a reward that is waiting for you and I when we get done down here. Don't be confused. Don't be misinformed. Now, I'm here to tell you that after you close your eyes on this side, there is something waiting for you on the other side. The question is, what future will you walk into? Yes. I'm done. You know, that's why I love the sacred songs. Because the sacred song says, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away when the shadows of life have grown. I'll fly away like a bird. I love that. Like a bird from the prison bars. I'm going to fly away just a few more weary days, and then to a land where joy shall what? Never end. I'll fly away. See, that's why you can sing the sacred songs. Because the sacred songs help you understand that this is not all there is. I'm done. Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hands. Covet not the world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain heavenly treasures that will never pass away. Y'all, this is not all there is. Don't allow your security to be placed in what you physically see on this earth. Because if you do, you are lost before you even get started. How to walk secure? Confess the faith. Connect with the family. Celebrate the family. Cut the foolish. Be content with the Father. and center yourself on the future, knowing that the future is not here. I'm beginning to understand more and more now. I was telling the city leaders on yesterday how the older generation, like my mom, was able to make it because they really believe, Brother Merle, that the best is yet to come. But while they waited on the best, they had to put their trust in the one who would keep them. They made him their refuge and their fortress. And they put their trust in him. That's how you're gonna make it. And that's how you're gonna walk secure. With all hell that's breaking loose around you, that's how you're gonna walk secure.